Hello, everyone. Hi, happy Wednesday. Welcome to Confetti with me, your host for the next 45 minutes. My name is Debbie. Today is Wednesday, June 29th, 2011, and I'm broadcasting to you live from the Washington, D.C. metro area. And my goal is always, always to bring you information on starting and growing a wedding planning business of your own. And as always, for tons of free resources and content to help you with setting up a wedding planning business or just planning weddings for living, please visit my website, weddingsforaliving.com, okay? As always, this show is completely interactive. So if you have questions or comments, please feel free to call in live by dialing 626-213-5678. Or if you're online, I believe you can use a Skype button on the show page. I'm not going to pretend like I can tell you exactly where that is, but the Skype button, use that to call in, especially if you're calling in from overseas. And, of course, you can also type your questions and comments in the chat room. Okay. Hi, Daniel from the UK. Glad to see you here. I owe you. We need to communicate offline. Guys, when you hear me just talking like this, I always say this, but there are always new people listening. I'm responding to people that I can see in the chat, okay? I'm so happy that you're here. And let me start by apologizing. Normally, we do the call, we do the show on a Tuesday. And about 45 minutes, an hour before the show, scheduled start time yesterday, the skies turned black and it got cloudy out here and the winds picked up. We had a thunderstorm watch in effect. And usually I don't make a big deal about that. And that's going to, I'm going to pay for that one day. But the power was coming in and out. The internet connection was so slow. It reminded me of the day. Do you remember the days when you used to get the AOL CDs in the mail to get internet connection? Okay, well, that was the speed of the internet yesterday. I mean, even that was actually faster than what the internet was yesterday. So I made the decision that I would just go ahead and postpone the show until tonight. I didn't want to, I was thinking about doing it a few minutes later, but then I had no guarantees as to when the weather would clear up. So I apologize for those of you that tuned in for Tuesday, but we will be back on track almost two weeks from today. We'll be back on Tuesday. Hi, Gary. Good to see you here. And I see we have a lot of guests here. I don't have your name, so I cannot address you. But thank you all for being here. Okay, I wanted to say today has been one of the trying days for me. Weddingsforaliving.com is a site that's been around for a few years, and I knew I wanted to change the setup of it, and I did that today in the middle of the afternoon. I shouldn't have done that. I should have waited until early hours of the morning. So if you go on the site, you'll see it looks slightly different. Not majorly so, but in doing so, I actually messed up a few other things. So I was speaking with tech support up until minutes ago. So once the show is over, I'm going to go back to that. So if you're trying to access audio on the website, any of the Wedding Business Guide members that are trying to access video, I have totally managed to screw that up. So they're working with me, and hopefully by the end of the show, things will be back to normal. But I'll send out another email to the Wedding Business Guide members, so you understand what's going on. So my sincere apologies. Okay, so good to see you here. I keep saying that, but it really is. I was feeling so down and frustrated, and then, I get all perked up for the call. So if you're on the phone, you hit the number one, and that way I know you'll have a question. And to add to my, trials and tribulations, Blog Talk Radio has changed some of the behind-the-scenes format. So I'm trying to familiarize myself with the switchboard and all of that, but I'm just going to keep it moving, as I like to say. The last call that I did, the last show that I did, was an abbreviated one. I know, Gary, you were listening in, and a few others. And that was really, that show was based on one topic, and that had to do with finding a mentor. Somebody had asked a question about that, so I dedicated 30 minutes to that topic. So if you're someone who's looking for a mentor, listen to that broadcast. And the one before that was actually, a solo topic also, and it had to do with 10 things that I believe you should have in place before you start your wedding planning business, because I get that question a lot. So go back and look at the past episodes. And what I did with the new weddingsforliving.com site, I started to put up all the past episodes on there. And you can find that on blogtalkradio.com/confetti, which is the show page. But what I've done on the weddingsforliving.com website is I've actually put in descriptions of what each show is about, as opposed to it just saying confetti grab bag. So it'll be easy for you to sort through and find out where, you know, what topics you want to listen to. Okay? All right. So today we're back to Grab Bag Tuesday, and I've got a few questions here that I want to answer, but please feel free to chime in. I'm looking at the chat room. Let's see what's going on here. Daniel says he's moved back to Cornwall to run his wedding business, and he has two bookings. Oh, that's fantastic. That's really great news. It's such a great thing, you know, when you're doing this wedding planning business thing, and then you finally get a client. It's just euphoric. It's amazing. So kudos to you, Daniel. Wonderful, wonderful. I'm so happy and excited for you. It's really a good feeling. It motivates you, right, to keep doing this. So let's get to the questions, okay? The first one I wanted to address comes from, I don't have the name here. This actually came in the form on the Wedding Business Guide site, and I'll read it out loud to you. But I thought it would apply to a lot of us who are listening in. The question is, my biggest challenge right now is that I live in a rural part of South Georgia, and everyone's mother or aunt or friend does their wedding. It drives me crazy because the weddings are all the same. And by the end of it all, the bride is usually still stressed out and wishes she had just went to the justice of the peace. That really makes me sad because I feel that their wedding should be a joyous occasion, and that is my pitch. You deserve the perfect wedding without all the hassle. Help anyone. So kind of a statement, kind of a question. But the reason I bring this up is that, you know, once we get involved in planning events and weddings and things like that, it can be a real thrill for us. And many of us, like me, say, you know, hey, I think I want to do this for a living. But you want to make sure before you do that, you have to do some research. You have to make sure that there are enough clients in your target area to support your business. There has to be a need. So as much as we like to plan weddings, what we really should be doing is you want to see what's missing in your area. And then you want to be the person that provides that missing piece. Okay? As opposed to, I want to start a wedding planning business. This is what I want to do. I want to find clients. The difference is that you have now set up a business and you've got to find people to support your business, as opposed to seeing what's not there and providing that service. Do you get what I mean? It's much easier if the need is there, because thankfully many of us that decide to go into the wedding planning business, there are usually enough brides in our area to help support that business. But in this instance, if you are living in an area and it's evident that people are not used to using a wedding planner and you set up a wedding planning business, you're going to struggle. That there's going to be a problem there. So you want to do it the other way around. I'm not trying to steer you away from doing the wedding planning thing. On the contrary, what I'm saying to you is make sure that you've got enough people in your area to support exactly what it is that you're doing. In this instance, if no one is hiring a wedding planner, it could be for several reasons. It could be because of budget. It could be because they just don't feel the need. Or it could just be they feel that, you know, it's always been done within the family and within friends, and that's how things are done in your area. So either you have to upset the apple cart and make a change, or you've got to do some digging and find out what you can do to sort of fit in there. So if you're in an area, people are getting married, but they're not planning weddings, again, find out why that is. Is it a money thing? Because that's important. If the budgets for the weddings are so low that they're isn't a need or that they can't afford to include a wedding planner, that's a red flag for you. But if you're finding out that it's something else, then you want to try to fill the need. So if it's an instance where maybe the money isn't there for a wedding planner, maybe then you kind of gravitate towards the area of maybe doing design or decor. Because I have yet to meet a bride that doesn't want her wedding to look fabulous. that's what they want. So maybe I don't plan the wedding, but I can design the look of that wedding. Maybe I have some really wonderful centerpieces that I can create, or maybe I have a great connection with a florist that does wonderful centerpieces. Maybe I purchase seat covers and chair covers and things like that and linens and then rent those out. Those all fall into the area of design. So somebody who maybe has no desire to hire you to plan their wedding may be more inclined to get you to design the wedding. Maybe your specialty is taking the most drab reception venue and making it look fantastic because you have all the supplies. Or maybe you go into the invitation business. Many of us sell invitations in addition to planning, but maybe you make that your focus. Bridal accessories. Maybe you do the veils and the ring bearers, pillows, and things like that. So you're still working in the wedding planning industry, but fulfilling a need. Because most couples are going to need those items anyway. Why not provide that? Maybe once they start speaking to you, they get to know and they get to know you and like you, and they say, well, hey, maybe she can help us, or maybe he can help us with the planning part. Do you get what I mean? You've got to figure out what's missing, and you want to fill that part in, as opposed to saying, I'm setting up a wedding planning business, I only want to do full service planning, or I only want to do, day of planning, and nobody's buying that. You're going to have a hard time with it, and then you're going to get discouraged, and that's the worst thing. I don't want you to ever get discouraged in this industry. I want you to find something that works for you and work for those that are in your area, and then get your business going that way. Maybe what you do is you find a few of the vendors that are not well known, and you get them together, and you come up with a package. You know how when you go to a wedding, pay one price? You do the same thing. You just gather a few vendors together and you offer planning services as a package. Technically, you're still planning, but you're not selling it that way. Instead, you're selling it as a one price deal. And the reason that vendors will give you a better price is that you're giving them recurring business, repeat business. So if their regular price is $500, maybe they only charge you $250 or $300 or whatever it is. And then you mark that up. And then, now that's a bigger burden for you. You're taking on more of a risk, but it's just another way to present your wedding planning business if that's going to be more enticing to the people in your area. Or maybe you do the referral-only thing, like the wedding library and what's the woman I always talk about in California? A legendary affair, where the brides don't pay you, but the vendors pay you to represent them. And your brides just come in and look through all of your displays and pick a vendor that way. Your vendors are paying your fee to represent them. It's almost like you become an ad agency. That's just another way for you to market your business. Okay? Oh, Daniel, okay. If I'm not coming through clearly, let me know. Thank you, Daniel. Daniel's saying it's okay now. Yeah, I don't know if it's my internet connection. I'm not sure what it is, but don't hesitate to let me know. Okay? So I want, when you're thinking of, if you haven't started your wedding planning business, or if you already have and you're having a hard time finding clients, I want to make sure that you're doing your homework first. Not the most exciting part of starting a business, but it's something that you want to do now as opposed to later. You don't want to get your website up and get all your marketing materials and go through all this hard work and then realize nobody wants what it is that you're selling, okay? So find a need that you can fulfill. And maybe that's just a way to get your foot in the door, because sometimes people just don't understand what a wedding planner does. I mean, I'm very particular, and I don't know, you know, I God pity the person that wants to plan my wedding. But, you know, if I find the right person and we connect, it's going to be okay. So just remember that, okay? Just you want to figure out what people need and then provide that service. Okay, am I breaking up? Am I not coming in clearly? Wow. Okay, I'm gonna keep going because I'm not quite sure how to fix it. But I will listen to the playback, and if I have to do it over again, then I will. Okay. So that was the first question. Any comments? Any feedback? Assuming you can hear me, let me know. Okay. All right. Great. Okay, it's okay now. Good. It's got to be this crappy internet. Darn you, Comcast. All right, next question. This comes from Michelle. Michelle says, thank you for all for always for your help and teaching. You're very welcome. I was wondering if you could talk or write me one day about the ceremony protocol, the processional, and what do you think on some details. For instance, the order and sidewalking is not the same in several informations of the subject. I always do it one way, but then a bride comes along sometimes with info from the web or magazine and wants to do it another way. Okay. Okay, so, Michelle, good question. There are different ways. The type of wedding determines the way the ceremony processional moves ahead. Christian is one way. A Jewish wedding is another. And, I'm sheltered. I haven't done many weddings outside of Jewish or Christian. But it varies. But what you have to remember that you as a wedding planner, your only responsible, not your only, one of your responsibilities is to be familiar enough to speak with your brides and explain to them what should happen. I don't know if you remember, if you listened to one of the shows I did and I talked about the Emily Post book that I turned my nose up at first and then, you know, I got a slap on the wrist for it. I was telling my students, oh, just forget that book. That book is so dry and boring. Uh-oh, no, shouldn't have said that. But I have two versions of the Emily Post Wedding Etiquette book on my bookshelf, and it's been a very, very great sort. It's a great reference book. So, you know, you've got to understand, and in another one of the shows I talked about, you have to learn and understand weddings. You know, the order is the prelude, then it's the seating of the moms, and then the processional, and the general order of the service, and the recessional. Those are things that you should be familiar enough with. And you can find that information in a book like the Emily Post book. So your job as a wedding planner is to explain to your clients how it's typically done, okay? The house of worship, if that's where your couple is getting married, that will be the ruling force as to how things are done. Because they will decide based on religion what the right way is to do things, okay? But that domain, they're the ruler of that roost there. You can only provide guidance. And, you know, God help you if there's an overbearing church person there. I don't mean that in a bad way, guys, but I don't know if you've ever had to do a rehearsal and the person is in that's representing that location just will not let you as a wedding planner direct that rehearsal, and you kind of just have to sit in the corner with your tail between your legs and just trying to keep quiet. That's what I'm talking about. So you just need to be familiar enough that you can step up and say, well, you should be on your dad's arm on this side, and, you know, the bridesmaid should be on this side, the groomsmen should be here. But really, that house of worship, whoever's in charge there, will dictate how that should happen. But really, with a lot of weddings now, your couple can get to decide how personal they want to do things. They maybe want to do things slightly differently. And assuming that it's not an environment where it has to be a certain way, you can kind of tell them, you need to let them know that it's their choice. I mean, ultimately, they get to decide. Let's say it's a civil ceremony. They actually get to decide how things are done. But you should be familiar enough to know what happens when in the general order. And I mean, right before you go to the wedding rehearsal or right before you meet with your client, just brush up on your skills. Just read up on that. And then, you know, they're going to be in amazement that you know so darn much. Just read up on that. So it can be, it's a variety of ways, and as you're learning weddings, I'm always excited to learn about different cultures, and as you're doing the learning, that's going to be a great way for you to figure out a niche if you haven't done so already, because you're going to naturally gravitate to something, and that may be your calling. So Michelle, in answer to your question, there's a typical way for each religion, each denomination, I should say. You want to be familiar enough with that. But let your bride and groom know, or your bride and bride or your groom and groom know that that person in charge of the ceremony, usually, you know, the officiant, will determine how things are done. And if that person isn't fussy or if that person doesn't exist, meaning it's a civil ceremony, then they get to play around with how they want to do things. You're just there to guide, okay, and be the voice of reason and letting them know when something is just utterly ridiculous in the nicest way that you possibly can, okay? Don't lose sleep over it, but just brush up. Be familiar enough with the setup. Okay. I hope that answers that question. Let me take a look here. Oh, Carla says this was mentioned at our meeting yesterday. Okay, great. Carla, what meeting are you talking about? With a client, perhaps? Let me know. But that used to, stuff like that used to kind of bother me. When I was a new wedding planner and I had to meet with clients, I would always be anxious that, oh my gosh, I'm not going to know. I'm telling you, get a good etiquette book and just brush up. You don't have to read it from cover to cover. Don't laugh. I did that. But, you know, just be familiar enough so that you sound more than halfway intelligent. Okay. All right. Daniel asks a question. Let's see. Have you got any tips on how I can go about getting clients from the U.S. that want to get married over here in Cornwall? Okay, great question. I'm going to come back to that, Daniel, 1 second. Gary says, as an officiant, Gary, you're an officiant. I didn't know that. I get a lot of questions about wedding protocol, and I tell them what is traditionally done, but tell them we can do what they want. Fantastic. I love it when someone agrees with me because it makes me sound so intelligent. But yeah, absolutely. So as what Gary said is absolutely right. He tells them how it's traditionally done. Could you be surprised? A lot of people don't really know that, you know, how things are supposed to be. But he's open enough to let them sort of move in the direction that they want to. Gary's very open. You will come across many people who are the complete opposite. It has to be this way, and that's it. Otherwise, the world will come to a drastic end, okay? So take the lead from your – and be gracious. You know, even though we know everything, you don't have to always act like you know everything. You want to be a little humble and let the officiant who's leading that ceremony dictate what should be happening, okay? Don't forget about that. All right. Great. Daniel, I'm coming back to you. So do I have any tips about how you can go about getting clients from the U.S. that want to get married over here in Cornwall? Google optimization phenomenally expensive. Yeah. So Daniel's in the U.K., and because he's in the beautiful part of the country, it makes sense that people, the couples over here, would be attracted to that, to getting married overseas. So I guess, in essence, well, not I guess, Daniel is actually a destination wedding planner of sorts. So Google optimization, are you talking about like the pay-per-click type of thing, Daniel? Let me know, because that's one way to do that. What I would suggest is really you want to find a contact over here in the U.S. that can be your go-to person. Daniel, I know Candy Kane was on the show a few weeks ago. Did you get in contact with her? Let me know. I'll wait for you to type the response. And for those of you who don't know who Candy Kane is, that's a fantastic name. Candy Kane is a wedding destination wedding specialist who also teaches a destination wedding certification course for the AFWPI, which is the Association for Wedding Planners International, or Wedding Professionals International. So, okay, Daniel says yes. Pay-per-click. Okay, so, you know, when you go onto Google, when you look at the search results page, you've got, when you type something in, whatever you're searching for, you get the results that are in the main part of the page, the main body, and then you've got some results on the right-hand side, in the narrow right-hand side, and across the top. So the results that are in the main part are referred to as organic or natural, and the results that come up on the right-hand side or on the left, or across the top, are paid. So people are paying for the privilege to be there. So what Daniel is saying is the pay-per-click is expensive. And depending on what phrase it is, and I'm not going to spend time going into too much detail about the Google AdWords, you pay for each click. So if you're sitting there and no one ever clicks on your ad on the right or on the top, you don't pay. But when someone clicks on it, you pay per click. So depending on what phrase it is that you signed up for, there's a different rate. It can be cents, it can be dollars and cents for each click. So it can become expensive. But I was going to suggest, Daniel, you definitely want to have, or I did suggest, you definitely want to be in contact with somebody over here. Let's see, she's going to get, oh, okay. Daniel says that Candy's going to get back to you, but she wants you to do the course over Skype, but it's okay. So Candy Kane offers, as I was saying, offers a certification course, and she actually has made it available via Skype. But financially, that's not, you know, Daniel's saying he's not quite ready for that, if I'm not mistaken. I'm reading, guys. When I pause like that, I'm reading.
Yeah, so getting people to know about Cornwall is not yet. Okay, he's saying that based on his location, and it really is a beautiful part of the United Kingdom, that not too many people know about Cornwall. So we all know about London, right? But the other part, so where he is specifically, is not as well known. Daniel, what I would suggest, and I mean, this is not going to get you results overnight, is you want to make sure you include some content on your site about your area. How like when you're planning a trip somewhere, you want to find out about the neighborhoods, about the culture. For those of you that don't know, I was born and raised in London, England. Can't tell by listening to me, right? But people are always fascinated by the English phrases and some of the idioms and things that we say. I say we, I'm a US citizen now, Debbie, get over yourself. That is said overseas. So things like that, Daniel, you want to build content on your website so that when someone is searching for weddings in the United Kingdom, that how can I explain it? You want them to be able to find your site even though they weren't even thinking about Cornwall. So you've got to figure out some terms that would generate interest. So I mean, things like the food, things that are not necessarily wedding related, believe it or not. About the food, about the culture, about some things that people can do. Because when people start searching for that information and your website comes up, even if they're not planning to get married, what Google is going to do, Google is going to reward you as having a relevant site. And what that means is when someone's searching for something in the United Kingdom, and I'm not doing a very good job of explaining this, I apologize, you're going to come up a little closer when they're searching. And what that does is it ranks your site a little higher, which means that you're not having to pay for all the traffic because what you want is people to find you. So make sure on your website that you start including content, information that's very specific about your area. And it doesn't have to sound like a travel guide. Make it personal. Make it about your vision. I mean, even if it's just sort of like a diary of sorts, this is a place here. Interview maybe someone if you've got a video, a camcorder, a local restaurant, or I don't know, different places that maybe are off the beaten path. Things like that can sort of excite someone and generate enough interest that they want to find out more about you. You definitely want to sign up with a bridal association that has a lot of different chapters around the U.S. Association of Bridal Consultants is one that comes to mind right off the top. I don't know if you remember, but signing up with an association like that is a good thing because people get to know about you. And then when clients are looking for, some people just want to get married someplace else. And you want people to be able to refer you and suggest you, to suggest your company. And the only way that's going to happen is that you've got to start communicating with people. And it's not always about business. You want to genuinely find out what it is that they're doing, and they're going to reciprocate and start asking about what it is that your business does. Daniel, I know you and I have to talk. So, I mean, I want to know about Cornwall. I don't know enough about it, but hearing about it, and if you're able to paint that picture for me, then I'm instantly going to want to share that with someone. You want to also get in contact with I was going to say the tourism board. There has to be something in the United Kingdom. I guess you have the tourism board over there also, because a lot of people will inquire with the tourism board in the country that they're thinking of going to. And a lot of people are probably thinking about London, but you need to let them know Cornwall is a place to get married. And I'm guessing, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, I'm guessing there's not a whole bunch of wedding planners in your neck of the woods. So you want to link up with the tourism board in the central areas that people think of instantly and make friends with those people and let them know about your business and tell them that you really want to showcase Cornwall. Talk to members in the equivalent of your chambers of commerce in your area that are non-wedding because they have connections that you also need. So you've got to network and make friends because it's a little different for you because your people aren't your potential clients are not local. Okay? So Daniel says there are four wedding planners in 200 miles. Oh my gosh, fantastic, if only. So you should, I mean, you should be commanding that area. So make friends with people over here. Sign up, talk to the Association of Bridal Consultants. I believe the website is bridal, BRIDALASSN.com. But just Google them. Yes, networking is definitely key, Carla says. And you want to also, Association for Wedding Professional, AFWPI, because of the international part on the end, I know they've got connections outside of the U.S. So definitely you want to talk to the folks in those associations. And, you know, maybe you only sign up with one. If you can afford the dues, sign up with both of them. But they're both going to provide you with something a little different. But just don't leave it all to the wedding professionals. There are a lot of different people that can help you with showcasing Cornwall. And, you know, talk to the business leaders in your area, but definitely check for some of the main places that people think of instantly. And I would also contact the U.S. Embassy in England and get your name out there and make friends with someone there. I know the English are very friendly. So speak to someone there and let them know what it is that you're doing and trying to do. And you don't have to pretend, Daniel, to be a big company if you're not, because things have changed now that people want that personal touch and they want to do business with someone that they like and trust. So, you know, make friends with someone there, maybe just one person that can get you in, and, you know, you want your name to be resounding all over the globe, okay? All right, I hope that helps, Daniel. But let me know how that goes on, and you and I, are we have to do a Skype conversation. Oh, my gosh, Daniel, what time is it over there? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like 12:30, I'm guessing? 12:30, 11:30 in the morning? 12:30 in the morning? That's amazing. I'm glad you're here, though. Thank you so much. Okay. Any other questions? Let me check the switchboard before I move on. Let's see who's here. Kim's here. Hi, Kim. And let's see. Carla. Desiree, hello. I'm so glad to see everyone here. Oh, Desiree has a question. Desiree says, I live in a really rural part of South Georgia where grandma has always done the weddings. But I'm hearing from a lot of younger couples. Grandma does the weddings. I'm hearing from a lot of younger couples, some not yet engaged, that are tired of the same old thing. And I'm afraid I may have to shake the apple. Yeah, exactly, right? That's what you've got to do. That's exactly what you've got to do. If you keep doing the same thing that you're doing right now, it stands to reason that the outcome is going to be the same, right? And let me tell you, as someone who knows, when you make a decision or you're seriously thinking about going into business for yourself, you're going to have to do some things that make you slightly uncomfortable. You're going to have to step out of that comfort zone. But you got to do that, because the reason a lot of people are not doing what we do or what you do is because they're afraid to make that step. So, you know, you've got to go out there and give it a go. And, I mean, the first time you do it, if it doesn't work the way that you want, if you want it bad enough, you try something else. You do a little research and just start talking to people. Just start speaking to people who are already in the business. That rural part of the country where you are, if no one's playing, start talking to them. I mean, they've got to be vendors. They've got to be photographers. They've got to be caterers. Talk to those people and find out from them, you know, how are things working? What are people doing when they're planning weddings? What is it they're looking for that they cannot find? You know, when I became a civil celebrant, I did that primarily because I think I may have told you that I was worried that if the officiant didn't show up or fell in a manhole, that I wanted to officiate that wedding ceremony. But, you know, if that's what you're doing, you can also make it sort of like you're a mobile wedding planner. Maybe people think that they cannot afford a full service, you know, a complete traditional wedding, but maybe they want to have a wedding at home. Well, hey, if you're a celebrant, you can perform the ceremony and you just link up with a caterer to come up with a very basic menu. You link up with a florist to come up with a basic some basic flowers. You find a photographer or someone who's taking pictures, decent pictures on the side. You've got the pictures right there. And you put it all together as a package. Now, all of a sudden, you're a mobile wedding planner and it's all-inclusive. You're going to officiate. You're going to give them flowers, a bouquet for the brides, a boutonniere for the groom. You've got a basic catering menu, so you can provide food. Maybe it's just sort of like a cocktail thing or a few appetizers. Maybe you go down to Sam's Club and get some sparkling cider. I don't know. But you just come up with a package. And as a civil celebrant, all of a sudden you've just branded yourself as something completely different. You're no longer just an officiant, but you're a mobile wedding planning company. You see what I mean? You're still following your dream of planning weddings. You're just doing it a little differently. And because that is slightly different, a little quirky, the media is going to be drawn to that. Someone's going to pick up that story if you send out a press release and share that. So when someone says, you know, you go down to the courthouse, everyone's got to go down there to get their marriage license, you make friends with someone there and say, listen, if you come across someone who is coming to you as a last resort, do you mind just giving them my card and letting them know that I can perform that wedding ceremony for them wherever they choose? You know, I've got a few places at the back. I've got a few places that I know are wonderful where they can get married. And, of course, you do your homework and figure out what those places are. And, you know, let them know that you can perform that wedding ceremony for them. You can give them an all-inclusive wedding for maybe, I don't know, $600 or $1,000. And maybe your cost as a wedding planner is maybe about $400, $500, $600. If you can make $400 a couple of times on a Saturday for the next 3 or 4 months, that's a good start for you, I think. And what it's going to do, it's going to give you the encouragement and the motivation to keep moving forward. And finding out if this is your niche or just getting to know vendors and just getting your name out there. Because when people start responding to you and you start getting clients, it's just like this fire is within you, like you want to keep going. So start thinking about different things that you can do with your wedding planning business. Gary says, stop reading my business plan. Sorry, Gary. okay, so great. So Gary, you're on the right track. I want to hear more about that. So let's see. Carla says it might hurt, but yes. Smile a lot and people will walk up to you and you never know who you may meet. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay? So just step out of your comfort zone and just try. You know, be radical and say hello to a stranger. Oh, my gosh. Just be careful how you say hello. But, you know, just get out there. Talk to people. Start with the vendors because they'll give you some motivation and give you some leads possibly. Okay? All right. Great. What time is it? We've got a few more minutes, right? Let's see. Let's read the comments. So Desiree says, that is the biggest thing, getting my first actual paying client under my belt. I have a lot of people that are more than willing to let me do their wedding for free. Yeah. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Steer away from the free stuff, guys. Steer away from the free weddings. You want to reduce your fee? Reduce your fee. I'm not a fan of that, really. But, you know, you don't want to do any wedding for free. I don't think it's necessary. I think if somebody really wants your help with the wedding, they're going to be willing to pay. And you've got to make it seem, you've got to let them know how valuable you are. I find wedding day of planning is the easiest thing to sell. And it's the biggest headache. But it's the easiest. It's the easiest way to sell what it is that you're doing. Okay. But try not to do the free thing. I mean, it'll come back to bite you in the butt. And I said this before. When you reduce your fee, make sure you write out in your invoice when you're billing your clients what the real fee should be. So if you're charging them $500 and your fee is typically $900, you make sure you write $900. On one line, on the next line, you put discount or however you want to word it for the difference, and then the final amount is written. You don't just give them a price. Even though you verbally tell them you're reducing the fee, you put it on paper. You make sure they see the value of the service that you're providing. And then also what it does is when they start, you know, gabbing off to their friends and family that they got, you know, they got a deal, that it's clear to them or to whoever it is they're talking that it was a discount. And if you are discounting your rate, any you know, whatever the amount is, you make sure that this person is providing you with a testimonial. You make sure that they're giving you rights for photographs that you can use in your marketing, on your website, on your brochures, wherever it is that you do that. So you make sure you get something out of the deal. You don't just give up your time. But try not to do the free wedding thing. You want to stay away from that. Okay? All right. Let's see. Where is the question that I wanted to ask here? Did I print it out? Maybe I can read it from here. And it was funny, the timing of this question that came in here. The email says, I just received an email from a couple that wants me to plan their wedding. They do not live in my state, and all communication will happen via email. Please give me any advice that you can. I will receive my payment via a merchant account. This seems like a legitimate wedding, but how can I be sure? Okay. Now, if I had sound effects, this is where the lights would be flashing. You'd hear the Be very, very careful. emails from couples who are looking for wedding planners who are in some far-off land should be an immediate red flag for you. This letter, she sent me this message the beginning of this week. And it was so funny because I got an email at the end of last week that sounds very similar to that. This used to happen a lot, and then it died down. The scam, I'm not saying that this is a scam, but it sounds like a scam. What happens is you hear from this some clients who are getting married, again, usually not local to you. They're usually in some far-off place, and for whatever reason, they're coming. They want to get married in your neck of the woods. Usually the budget is substantial, average, more than usually more than average, or just, you know, enough to get you curious. Very often, they're willing to pay your fee, and let me back up. They're willing to pay, and a lot of times they don't even know how much you charge. Either they found you on a website or wherever it is they claim. But even if they, whether they've seen your fee or not, they're willing to pay whatever it is. And usually the method of payment is not straightforward, meaning they're not going to send you a check. Usually they want you to do something that seems really bizarre. Now, this person wants to pay that she'll receive her payments via merchant account. So I guess they're using a credit card to pay. I don't know. Or sometimes they're using PayPal, or they'll send you, they'll say, you know, if your fee's $500, they want to send you a check for $800 and you send them the difference. Be very, very careful. More times than not, it's a scam. I'm not suggesting, again, that that's the situation that this person is talking about, but the key is you want to be able to speak to this person one-on-one. So they'll be, usually they're more than happy to communicate with you via email. That's fine initially, but you need to be able to speak to this person. And they need to provide you with a number where you can call them. Even if they're long distance is not the way it used to be. I mean, it blows my mind. We have a friend who, you know, I'll call and she said, I'm on the phone long distance. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, long distance is like next to nothing now. Do you remember it used to be a big deal to call someone who was outside of your area code? Okay, no more. So with Skype and with calling cards, international calls are usually not that expensive. And if this person is willing to spend so much money with you, then you've got to be, to me, it's like making a phone call shouldn't be an issue. So you don't want to get too deep into this wedding planning thing because I don't want you to be disappointed. I don't want you to spend your time and energy with someone who's not legit. Make sure that you can talk to this person. And usually, no matter who I'm speaking to, once I get an idea of when they're getting married and their budget and what they're looking for, assuming I'm available, I usually say, I just want to chat with you for a few moments. So either they're calling me or I'm calling them. And when you get an email like that, that's all you need to say. I want to be able to, you know, it'll be sounds great, let's talk. And then say nothing more and see what kind of response you get. If this person insists that you communicate via email, you be very careful, and I would stop right there. I would stop right there. More times than not, it's a scam. I've gotten emails from England, from Australia, from Nigeria, from different parts of Europe. I want to say Germany, but I speak a little German, and I don't think that was German that was coming through on the email. So be very careful. And Daniel's saying you're saying you Skype. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for you not to be able to speak to someone. And Skype is a great way to communicate with people now. So just be careful. And, you know, as excited as we are and as much as we want clients, when someone expresses an interest in your business, you still want to be professional. You don't want to let them know, oh, my gosh, you're my first client. Whatever you do, don't say that. But, you know, just be, you know, when it's coming from someplace that's not local, just tell them you want to speak with them. Don't make it long, just a very short to the point statement, and just wait to see how they respond. If it's not legitimate, they're not going to want to talk to you, and just move on. I think it's worth that. I don't think you're going to lose mounds amount. I don't think you're going to lose untold amount of money by doing that. Okay, so just be very, very careful. Daniel says I got one 2 years ago for an event, and I lost out 600. Oh my God, 600 pounds. Oh wow, not good. I'm so sorry. You've got to be very careful with this long distance thing. Now, Daniel, that's going to be hard for you, not hard for you, but, I mean, a lot of your clients will be overseas. But, again, you should be able to speak to them, okay? So just be very, very careful when you're communicating with potential clients. And when if it sounds too good to be true, You know where I'm going with that, right? So just be very careful. I don't profess to be an expert on this. If the email sounds a little dicey, send it to me, and I can take a look at it. And then there is an organization online. And usually, a lot of times when this happens, either we feel a little embarrassed that, you know, they got us or that we fell for it. But there is an organization where you should be sending that information to let them know that this is a potential scam. Oh, this just doesn't sound right. And can you investigate? And they'll do some digging. I want to say I get an email from them every now and then that tells me what they're updating. But I'll have to put in the notes on the for this show when I post it on weddingsforliving.com. Okay, but just be very careful with those folks that are contacting you from some place that's not local to you. I mean, I've had all kinds of excuses. I'm relocating. I'm getting a job, or we love your area in the United States, and this is where we want to get married. And you know, we've got $50,000 to spend on the wedding, and we're more than happy. One of the people that said that to me knew nothing about my wedding business. Why are you willing to spend so much money and you don't know anything about me? So, you know, just use a little, you know, think a little bit, and just be careful. Okay? All right. Guess what time it is, guys? It's I've been on there for about 45 minutes now. Any questions at all from anyone? I don't see any hands up in the on the switchboard. I don't think so. Anyway, I'm looking again because, like I said, it's this new thing, and your hand may be up, and I can't tell. If it is, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So please check out weddingsforliving.com. It is slightly different now. So each of the shows, I have uploaded all of them. All the past episodes are on there with a description, so you'll kind of know what the show is about. And I'm working on doing some free webinars. I'm trying to put some classes together about some basic stuff, because I know we've got a lot of new wedding planners out there. And because I love talking so much, I want to share some of the information with you. Okay? Any questions before we wrap this up? Any at all? And just so you know, the second or third week in July, Chazelle Rodriguez is going to be hosting a show. I've yet to finalize that, but Chazelle is a wedding planner who is in, is it Puerto Rico or Dominican Republic? Oh my gosh, I can't remember. I'm terrible. But she will be hosting a show. She's also an instructor for the Wedding Planning Institute, so it'll be interesting. Okay? All right, guys, I want to thank you so much for being here. What did you say? Can you 1, 2, 3, what is that, Kimberly? Are you asking me? I don't know what that means. Oh, can you tell me what steps to take for a day of coordinator? When you say what steps, what do you mean? You mean as far as how to offer that as a service? I'll wait for Kimberly to type. I know she's typing really quickly too. Just waiting to hear what she's writing. But while she's writing that, let me remind you. I just wanted to say, okay, Kimberly, 1 second. Kim, what's going on here? I'm lost. See my message above. Oh, okay. Before I do that, 1 second, I'm sorry. I am on Twitter, guys. Don't laugh. I have about maybe 20-something tweets. Don't laugh. But most of those are automated from Blog Talk Radio when the show goes live. But I do have a members-only website, Wedding Business Guide, and it is a membership site that you have to pay for. It is very affordable. But usually the webinars that I offer are for members only. The last week I did a webinar and I sent out a tweet. Is that the right way? I sent out a tweet that was giving you the link that if you got the tweet that you could join and you could just listen in. So what I'm suggesting is, you know, follow me on Twitter for the tweets that I send out once every other week. And every now and then I do send some things that are that I offer to members, but I open to everyone. I don't like to send emails I don't like to bombard you with emails, but, you know, the tweet I'm kind of getting around to. So if you follow me on Twitter, it's, you know, twitter.com/DebbieTobias. And every now and then I do put out some things, and I intend to come up with some things that I can just send to you that I think are beneficial, kind of little bonuses, little things that may come across my way that I think you might find my beneficial. So that's one way for me to bribe you to become a follower, and that's going to be my incentive to actually tweet something more than, you know, once every other week. Okay. Thank you. Desiree said, "Wedding Business Guide is fabulous." Thank you, Desiree. Thank you. Kim said, "I attended a webinar on online marketing this last week, and the guest speaker mentioned setting up a landing page where you give something away for free in exchange for their email as a way to grow your email list. Have you had any experience with this?" Kim, I don't know if that's directed at me. But yeah, I have. I mean, that's what I do on weddings for a living. You guys are on the chat. I don't know if you're speaking to me or if you're talking to one another. So, like, maybe she's not even speaking to me. But if you're asking me, Kim, yes, I've had experience with that. And if you do have a website, you should definitely be offering, you should be capturing your emails. You should be capturing the information from your brides, because it's inevitable someone's going to leave your site. No one stays on your website forever, whether they're on there for a minute, whether they're on there for an hour. They're going to click away. So you want to try to capture their information. And usually the best way to do that, I hate to use the term, but you have to bribe them. And it's sort of like, I'm going to give you this if you give me your email address. And usually you offer to give them a free report. A report kind of sounds a little dry for brides, but maybe a tip sheet or a free presentation or something like that. So that really is something that you can offer on your website, but I know I definitely can't go into details at this time, but that sounds like definitely a class for us to do. Kimberly Baxter asked, "I was asked to coordinate at the last minute for a wedding on July 16th. With such little time, I would like to know what information to gather from the bride to make the day go as smooth as possible." You say, Kimberly's misspelling. That's what happens when you're typing quickly, and we're all anxiously waiting to hear what it is that you have to say. Information from the bride. I mean, you've got to find out what she's done so far. You've got to find out which vendors she has, and if you have a master wedding checklist, it's all the stuff that coming down to the end. But basically, you want to find out what she's done so far. You've got to find out what vendors she has. You need to find you need the contracts from every last one of her vendors. And you also need to find out, you want to find out what she's done so far is what you've got to really figure out. So I don't know if you've signed a contract or anything like that yet, but Kimberly, I don't even know how to explain it because I'm rushing and I can't give you the answer that you need. Kimberly, you say you're on Wedding Business Guide, right? If you are, send me a private message in the forum and I'll tell you what you need to say. But basically, what you need to ask, but you basically got to find out all the stuff that this couple has done already, because you're going to be landed with that job, and anything that goes wrong, they're going to want to blame you. So be very careful with the day of coordination. Very careful. I know Kim Howard specializes in that, so maybe the two of you might be able to exchange some information there. Okay. Facebook does that. Can you offer you can offer something free? Yeah. So I'm saying, yeah, like, I know so much about Facebook. My Facebook page is also dismal. So, but so I hear. Okay. But, Kimberly, talk to me offline and, we'll get you going, because that's right around the corner. Just, be careful what you're getting yourself into, and make sure that you have enough people to help you on that day, especially since it's last minute. You need at least another two people, and make sure you charge for that. If you're paying someone $100 to help you or $150 to help you on the wedding day, make sure you're billing your client at least $200 in your fee. Okay, so build that in. You need extra hands on the day of. Okay? All right, guys. I'm going to wrap it up now. I said that about, three or four times now. But I want to thank you so much for being here. So I'm going to be back in another 2 weeks, but on the Tuesday. We're definitely going back to the Tuesday. Hopefully there are no thunderstorms and internet connection problems and things like that. Please tell a friend about the show if you think that it would be beneficial to them. Post a comment on the show page, and also on the weddingsforaliving.com website. You can post your comments underneath each show episode also. All right. Daniel, yes, absolutely. Daniel, send me your Skype your Skype name in a private thing, and I'll call you. Okay? Thank you so much, guys, for being here. I want to wish you happy planning for the next 2 weeks. I was going to say something profound, and I can't remember what it is. But, again, thank you for being here. Join me in 2 weeks. Please post your comments, any questions. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. What you can do, there is an Ask Debbie page on weddingsforaliving.com. If you send your questions that way, I'll find them easier, because when I was having you send them to the email, they were getting mixed up with a whole bunch of other things. So it's A-S-K, A like Apple, S like Sam, K like kangaroo. I don't know where kangaroo came from. What is it you're supposed to say? Oh, it's supposed to be A like, yeah, A-S-K, as in ask a question. Ask at weddingsforaliving.com. No. Let me go back. Sorry. Just go to the Ask Debbie page on weddingsforaliving.com. I'm sorry. And just complete the form there, and I'll get your question, okay? And I'll do my best to answer the show either on the air or one-on-one. All right? Enjoy yourself. For those of you here in the U.S., happy July 4th. And I'll speak to you in about 2 weeks. As always, much love, much success, and go out there and make lots and lots of money. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.